Half, Whitey, Scotty. It's RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
22 past 8 on a Monday morning. It's cleared up to a beautiful morning in the second best city in the world. Roads are dry, Scotty. Yeah, roads are dry.
It's actually hot. You were emotional about 2 hours ago.
Oh, I don't like driving on slippery roads.
I mean, Blue Eyes came in his summer outfit.
It did too.
Sort of woke me up.
Very bright.
Singlet tomorrow.
Chris Tremaine required waking up today after a largely uneventful 4 days at the Junction Oval, bending his back, toiling away as fast bowlers do. He joins us on the Breakfast Club. Good morning, Trick. Chris.
Good morning. I think I've missed something here. What's the first best city in the world?
Vienna has been crowned the best city in the world. This is official, Chris. This isn't just made up stuff.
Okay, all right. So we're officially the second best.
We are officially set. We've been best twice, and then we fell down the order to number two.
Okay, now we've cleared up the important stuff. Let's talk about you, Chris.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because there wasn't a lot to talk about on the weekend from a Junction Oval perspective. When you got the new ball in your hand on day two, at the end of day two, what were you thinking might happen?
That's a good question. We batted for so long, we put a total up, and we thought, I was thinking, how are we going to get 20 wickets? So new ball was attack, 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 see what we can manufacture, see what happens. And it was almost like see what happens every time we went out there. All right, let's go do this and see what happens. Let's go do this and see what happens. And just try and make something eventuate. And to the point where you think, right, we can get a couple of wickets and then we can bowl them out again at some point in time. The initial thought was get 600 and try and bowl them out twice, but, as we saw it, those things just never came to fruition.
What was different this time compared to other times? Because you and Scotty Boland have done a lot of hard work on a lot of flat tracks at the MCG and at the Junction Oval over the last few years. Yeah. This one just seemed a bit different to the others.
Yeah, a little bit. Maybe it may be because Junction Oval really allows you to score a lot of runs, and in which case, you know, the MCG, when we're punching through the covers, they're not running to the boundaries. You're running, you know, twos. You're getting half the value for shots. So rather than posting a 600 score, we're posting a 400, 450. And that itself keeps a team in the game. I think there's a mental barrier there at 600. 500, whatever it might be, where you think, geez, we're way out of this game. We've got to do something here to either get back into it or manufacture it. And it was just, I think because it runs flows so freely at Junction, there was always going to be big scores. And when you've only got 4 days, and when you say only, I've had 4 days that have gone a long, long time. When you've only got 4 days to bowl a team out twice on something like that and run the flowing, there's really no incentive to do either. You can score runs, and you know it's just as difficult to take wickets there as it is at the G.
So we reached a stalemate there. Pete brought all the field in, and the runs floated as 180 runs in that second session, but they couldn't come to an agreement. Now Pete wanted 350, Travis Head wanted 300, maybe 320, and I think a few of you blokes wanted 400. It got a bit willing there for a while.
It did a little bit. I mean, we sort of said, well, we need these guys to get close, and we can bring everyone up, get really attacking with our fields, throw a couple of balls up. If they get the run rate flowing, then they'll get close to the total, and we might be able to manufacture a game. If they happen to hit one up in the air, we take a wicket, and the wickets flow, then yeah, that's moving the game forward as well. And I mean, I guess if you ever want to ask a question again about Victorian cricket culture, ask John Holland and Glenn Maxwell what they had to do to themselves to lob the ball up, get hit for six, and go, oh, well, you know, that's for the good of the game. And they basically sacrificed their own personal statistics and glory and everything that you want to throw out there just to get the game moving forward. And it was really a great team effort from those two guys, which you know, all the boys really appreciated.
Now, Whitey put a picture up of the ball at the end of the innings, Chris. I've never seen something, you know, first-class match that you've had to use like that.
Yeah, well, I was standing a bit off and I threw the ball to Scotty Bowen when he was bowling. I said, mate, if you can find the seam, try bowling across it. And it was as flat as I've ever seen. I've never seen a ball like that. And, And we were sort of discussing it after training. We're like, you actually wouldn't even use that as a fielding ball at training. You just go, that's done, throw it away, or, you know, do something, give it to the dog or something. You wouldn't even use it to field with it. So it was a shocking.
So what do you take out of it, Chris, that match? Obviously, there were some terrific individual batting performances. It was tough to get anything done with the ball for both teams. What do you take out of it?
The bonus points. There's really not more you can take out of it from that. It was a good hit out. We got a bit of bowling under our belt, which was nice. I understand the frustration for people who support cricket and want to see cricket go well. And when Pete and Harry bowl as many overs as they did, and you know, James Pattinson's bowling off spin, I guess you've got to understand the longevity in Shield cricket, which is 10 to 11 games. And you don't want to spend all your tickets in the first game when there's probably not going to be a result. So, yep. You know, there was mentions of lack of respect and stuff at the game, and you're like, well, you know, we understand that, and we're very apologetic for the fact that we couldn't actually get a game going. But there is the long game that you do need to play in a season, where if you break your fastballs in the first game, then you are really behind the eight ball right from the start, and you don't want to do that, and that's unfortunate.
It must be said, Chris, I thought you bowled extremely well. 26 overs for 50-odd runs in difficult conditions and two wickets as well. I think, you know, you've started the season extremely well, but it probably wasn't the highlight. I thought Marcus Harris bowling medium pace, off spin and leg spin in one over has to be up there with one of the more impressive things I've seen.
Yeah, and what was impressive was the best ball he bowled was a ripping leg spinner into the rough and got hit to six. That's incredible. He bowled an absolute humdinging leg spinner, and Tommy Andrews popped it over the long one for six, and he thought, this is shocking. Like, it's actually really good, because Pete and Harry don't quite understand how hard it is to be a basketball or a bowler sometimes. So now they understand it. We might get a little bit of back from them in the field now. So.
Bit more respect from the batters, which is fair enough too, and you deserve it. And you've got WA and the Whacker. When's that?
Friday.
To get a chance to get back on the board, get some wickets and get some runs and win more games for the Vics. We appreciate your time, Chris. Enjoy the build-up to that game.
No worries. Thanks very much, guys.
Good stuff. Chris Tremaine with us from the Vics.